You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to the show, The Big Show, Russick and Rose, The Big Show without Russick. Hoping to have him back a little bit later on this week. My name is Matt Rose. He is Pat Steinberg. Pat Dumas. We're doing it. I'm going to play some audio with Pat Steinberg coming up in a moment.
You got Patty.
Getting a little crossed off there. Patty Dumas is here. GVP is here. We get Simon and Connor in the other room. Dialed in today, as you can tell. First day back from vacation. Always like to try and just wade in.
Yeah.
But, you know, hosting the program, that's no problem either. No problem at all. I got a text question for you. Coming up at 8:30, we're going to be playing some texts for you. Your text and your chance to win a couple of tickets to see the Calgary Roughnecks in their final home game on Saturday. I got a set of two we're going to be giving away, like I said, at 8:30. But get your texts in now because you can still win even if you're not listening at 8:30. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be listening to win. You just have to get your answer in, and then we can reach out to you if you win. It's that simple, really. The text question today, Patty and I just got back from little vacations, little jaunts out. You were in Toronto. I was down in Las Vegas. You also went to Hamilton. So we're asking you today on the text line, if you could go on a vacation anywhere with any flame, past or present, what would it be? Where would you go? Who would you take?
What would you do?
What would you do? So many questions.
Yeah, like, I don't, you can't just say, oh, I'll take Yegor Sharangovich. Where would you take him?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple things here.
Where'd
like,
you go?
If you're a big fisherman, I would probably say Sweden, maybe with a jig of Markstrom.
Oh, they love their fish there.
They do love to do a little bit of fishing out there. If you're a big sports guy, what about a football game with Blake Coleman?
He loves his footy.
He sure does. Yes. So, I don't know, just a couple of things we've thrown out there. But obviously, as the rules always are, the ones that are the funniest and the ones that are most clever, those are the ones that make us laugh, and those are the ones that usually win the tickets. Calgary Roughnecks tickets, they're playing on Saturday. We got a pair. We're going to give them away at 8:30. If you could go on a vacation anywhere with any flame, who would it be?
Today would be a good day to leave.
Yeah, today would be a great day to get that.
Week's not that nice.
Out of here.
Get out of here. Take this week.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, maybe I'll get home. Maybe do
what
a little bit of golfing
like
during the week. Oh, the weather was fine.
Like 24, 25.
Yeah, 24, 25. It was a little bit of wind on Saturday, but that's fine. It was
perfect.
Yeah, it was a great day. Great little trip down to Vegas. In this segment, I wanted to talk a little bit about an interview that Pat Steinberg did yesterday on Flamestock, which you can get on all your podcasts. You can also get hour one on your podcast form coming up in about 10 or 15 minutes if you missed it. Apple, Spotify, or Google, but I wanted to talk a little bit about this interview that Jordan Singlett did with the boys. A lot of it was talking about Dustin Wolf turns 23 today. Who knows if he'll get the start against the Vancouver Canucks. That game against Arizona was, you know, they called it 80s hockey. The Flames ended up winning at 6-5. I didn't think he was necessarily good. I didn't think he was bad. I think he made some great saves in that game that I wouldn't have expected him to make. And in the end, he got the win, shut the door in the third period. That's the most important thing. So here's what Jordan Singlett had to say after the latest showing from Dustin Wolf when he joined Pat Steinberg yesterday on Flamestock.
Yeah, obviously he's been impressive at every level he's played. And, you know, now it's a learning process for him at a guy his size to try and show people he can do it at the NHL level, because there's always going to be doubters like there was in the WHL and the American Hockey League. And, you know, he's continued to, you know, prove people wrong. So I think it's going to be a bit more of a learning curve, which you've noticed, you know, there's some ups and downs. And the big thing with him is just understanding his depth management at the NHL level, when to be aggressive to cut down angles, when he can be more conservative. And, you know, I think he's been learning that as he goes.
The size thing is a really interesting conversation, because sometimes on the outside, and you're the goalie guy, so correct us if we're wrong, but I sometimes find that can be a somewhat lazy narrative. Well, oh, that goal went in. Must be because Dustin's smaller than this goalie or that goalie. Look, we all understand that it's a factor, but there are ways that, and there are things that Dustin does that kind of make it or mitigate it as a factor, right? Like, how much of a factor really is it now that we're seeing him succeed and win hockey games at the NHL level?
Yeah, it's a funny storyline, because there's probably a couple saves last night that you know, some of our other goalies might not stop. So he's going to stop some the big guys can't get to. And, you know, he might get beat on the odd small goalie goal on a really good shot that maybe hits, you know, one of Dan Vladar or Jacob Markstrom. So you're going to see that once in a while on him, but he's going to learn. He's going to adapt. He's always adapted at every level. I always joke around because no one talks about a goal going in on the ice on Markey or Vladar and saying they're too big and couldn't get that on the ice in time. So, I think Dustin, you know, he's not big in today's game, but he reads the game and the shot so well, and he's so quick and competitive, and he's just such a smart goalie that he's going to find a way.
I feel like that's one of those clips that we can maybe just hold on to for as long as Dustin Wolf is going to be here in Calgary.
Yeah.
Because I very much agree with it. There is a lot of times where you can look at a goal, and I would say there's felt sometimes where he's given up some bad ones, but I haven't always necessarily been like, oh, if he was bigger, it would have been fine. Like, yeah, he's missed some shots and trying to adjust to a little bit of different speed and size and power from the shooters and all that type of thing. A little bit more accuracy, obviously. And there's just been some growing pains, if you will, because it's a big jump. AHL to the NHL, it's a lot more organized at the NHL level. Everything kind of has a place that it belongs, a home, if you will. And he's going to be working through it. But that's been one of the things that I think it's just important for fans to remember when you're watching him. Is as much as, oh, you missed him up top that one time, there are so many things that he's going to be able to do that even the big guys aren't able to do because he has that speed. Yep. There were a couple of those left-to-right pushes that he was able to make and kind of stop one-timers. That's one of the places that I continue to be impressed by him is how he reads the play and is able to get ahead of a shooter in that sense. I don't know how you feel about kind of the conversation, but it's been one of the more frustrating things for me as Dustin Wolf has gotten closer and closer to being an NHL goaltender.
Yeah, I think like listening to that conversation with Mike Vernon there on Friday, like, you know, he was a smaller guy, and granted, you know, the pad sizes back in the day, you know, that back then the goalies had to rely on their athleticism. You have to block the puck, not your equipment. You have to be the one to make the big saves and move and use that size to your advantage because you can, you know, get from post to post quicker than some guys do. You might not look like a big lumbering dinosaur like a lot of these guys do. And I think as Wolf grows on, I think I'm not going to be surprised if you see Dustin Wolf at the top of a lot of fitness training here with the Calgary Flames as his time goes on.
I don't know about that. Because my one thing about him is as much as he's not the tallest guy, he's definitely slight. Now, that's going to be the one place that, you know, fascinating to see next year what he looks like because, yeah, he's about the same height as me. I'm not a short person, about 6 foot, a little bit taller than 6 foot. We're kind of eye to eye whenever we're in the scrums doing one of those type of just post-game interviews. And it's not necessarily the height that you're like, wow, he's that short, especially once you put him on skates, probably 6'1", 6'2", it's the slightness. He's not jacked. He's not huge.
His frame
he's skinny.
Isn't there. He's not,
there's some room
to
grow.
Yeah.
But 23 years old, how much more growing is he going to do? Is that just kind of the body type that he has? It's fine. But that's one of the more places where fitness tests, you don't worry about maybe the strength, like that type of, you know, the VO2 max, that, sure. I could see that, and that's
more
very
like,
important.
More like
stamina.
Speed, stamina. That's why, like, I think he can benefit. Like, he can be more of a beneficiary.
Yeah, he's never going to go out and win the bench press.
No,
I don't think that's how it's going to work. I don't think he's going to go out and squat the most compared to anybody. Mm-hmm. But you also don't necessarily need to. What was the biggest thing for Mika Kiprusoff when he was playing?
Stretching.
That's all he ever did.
You know, just using that part of your athleticism. Use that part to make those big saves. I know. Hey, Kipper made a lot of those crazy, you know, Cinderella saves that not a lot of goalies do because of what he did. So, I think just watching Dustin Wolf go, he's had some bad, he's had some good. But again, this was a nice step forward this year. He was probably this was not expected from him this year. I don't think anybody expected him to play this much this year. Just banked on because Dan Vladar got hurt. You know, Markstrom's been banged up. You know, so this was, you know, Dustin Wolf thrown to the fire of really the first year of the rebuild. And there will be some bad nights going ahead, but I don't think you can pin if they let in 6 goals one game. It's not going to probably be because of Dustin Wolf.
Yeah, and you also have to kind of temper your expectations for a young goaltender who's highly touted versus a young forward who's highly touted versus a young
defenseman. They don't have as much control over the game.
Yes. Well, yes.
They can. It's different. They can stand on their head and steal a game.
Yeah.
But it is a different way of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the puck in their hand the entire time.
Yeah.
Or on their stick.
Jordan Sigley was also asked where he's going to see the most improvement for Wolf, and I'll spoil it for you. He doesn't think that he needs to put on some pounds.
And practicing at the highest level every day.
A lot of it's just timing. You know, earlier in the season, he was going up and down and really had no rhythm, you know, to get in games. And now that he's had a run, you can see his timing getting better and his adjustments to traffic situations, you know, bigger bodies. Guys are a lot hungrier around the net. So, you know, he's going to make those adjustments too, just trying to find sight lines and windows through traffic. And you see him adapting to that already. And like I said before, it's going to be the depth. When guys are between the dots, they can shoot it a lot better at that level. So it's, you know, when to step out a couple inches and, you know, when he can step back and take a bit more, stay in his paint a bit more. And he tracks the puck so well and reads the release so well that as a smaller guy and get away with playing a little bit deeper. But at this level, he's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive.
And I guess the interest...
That's a poor cut by me, first day back. I wanted to just play that one because I think it's important to kind of point out that the timing is one of those things that you can't necessarily work on in the off season too. Like, there's a certain amount of just maturity and all of that, but it's just reps.
Mm-hmm.
It's just getting out there and doing the reps and understanding that even when the best guys aren't on the ice, like you heard Jordan say there, even when the depth players are out there and they're behind and they're between the hash marks, they can beat you. And you have to be ready for it. And even if it's a depth guy, you got to get out in the top of your crease and adjust in little ways like that. And it's going to be one of the things to watch is as he continues to just be somebody that this organization has put a lot of
time in.
Time into.
For a seventh round pick.
And also a lot of, I would say, faith.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of kind of, I don't want to say expectation, but people think he's going to be able to be a very good NHL goaltender.
I think so, too. And I think once he'll play out the final two games here, he'll go join up with the Wranglers here for their two games, Friday, Saturday. And they're probably going to be the seventh seed with the way the things are going. But who knows? You win your best of three against, I don't even know, the twos. It might be Ontario or something like that. But
it was Tucson, Ontario. Yeah. Abbotsford's up there, too.
But either way, you know, you get that. You can maybe get a true postseason series for the Wranglers. And it'll only help Dustin Wolf. Because I think Dustin Wolf has to go into training camp this, you know, in September this year with the mind, I need to be here with the Flames. I need to be, whether Jacob Markstrom's here or not, I need to be on this roster opening night. Going forward, because next year we're going to start ramping this up. You're going to start seeing Dustin Wolf 30, 40 times maybe in a season. He might be doing a split situation with whoever they have bring in. If it's Markstrom, if they bring in somebody in a trade, I think Dustin Wolf needs to be the 1B here next year just to see what you got. Because I know you can say, oh, it's going to be tough for his development, losing a lot of games. I don't think that's the whole worrisome about the whole thing with Dustin Wolf. It's just watching his play. Just continue to take these next steps forward because, yes, he was only a seventh-round pick, and I know he did a lot of winning, was a really good goaltender in the WHL, but if he was 6'5", he would have gone in the third or second round.
Mm-hmm. He also probably wouldn't play the way he would if he was 6'5".
Yeah, we don't know if he'd ever be a goaltender of the year.
Maybe he would have been a defenseman.
Everything happens for a reason, right?
In that vein, though, this ideally would probably be the last time he goes down to the AHL unless he's doing like a conditioning stint or something like that.
He'd be out of,
but it does sound like he is actually excited to go down and do a little bit of AHL playoff action with this Wranglers team.
Yeah, it's honestly almost as hard as an adjustment. It's a little bit more scrambly, and you're going to have to adjust to different situations and different style of play. And but it speaks to his character. As I spoke to him last week and just said, you know, there's a chance he could go down and play playoffs, and he was all about it. He was hungry and excited about, you know, getting a chance to go after a Calder Cup, so he wasn't disappointed and didn't think he was too good for it. And again, it just, you know, speaks to the kind of person, player he is.
And if he's down there, I'll give him a puncher's chance. against any one of those teams in the AHL, yeah, I would give them a shot.
Because I know the Wranglers, anybody who's followed them, they've been jostled by the call-ups this year. It hasn't been the same Wrangler group we saw the last year, and even with Stockton the year before, it's been a rough go. And I think you've seen it with Dustin Wolf when he's been
the biggest key,
shipped,
right?
Up and down.
Like,
maybe
there's
Wolf,
a lot of examples in that organization, but Wolf is the biggest one. Yeah. Is the 2-time goal of the year down.
Exactly, and he's mainly the reason why the Wranglers are the 7th seed heading into the postseason, why he's been, you know, he hasn't been there. And maybe we've seen it when Wolf goes down, maybe that first start isn't so great by him.
Like you heard from Sigler at the start of the clip there.
It can be messy going down from NHL to AHL. I know it's still hockey, but everything is different. The locker room's different. Your practice schedule is different. Everything. The flight is different. Everything. So I think maybe being in a winner-take-all type situation, because you will be on the road, you need to take at least one of those games to force a game 3 at the very least. But you know, I think it will benefit him in a high-pressure situation, because when he was sent down, it was regular season games, and I know it was all seeding, but I think getting into the postseason for him, seeing the guys again, and he'll be joined. It's not like they're not getting any. Like, they'll have guys coming down to help them out. Klapka will be back down there. Soloviev will be back down there. So I think just getting him in there, win a series, you get to that main first round, can only benefit this.
And the nice thing is, like you mentioned, the Flames have 2 more games tonight. They play the Canucks in Vancouver. Then they come home. They host the Sharks Thursday, for the final regular season game, and then it is playoffs. Well, they get 2 more regular
Friday
and Saturday in Abbotsford, and you wonder if any
they
of
can
them
still
get in.
Move up.
Yeah, well, I was more thinking about are they going to get in and get one more regular season game?
Fair,
just to kind of maybe try and finalize that roster a little bit. The Wranglers are down to 2 practice groups with many
they got
bodies,
a lot of
there
bodies
right now, and that's with Klapka and Soloviev and Coronado and Wolf all currently up with the big roster. Mm-hmm. So a lot of bodies for Trent Call to try and pick the best 18, especially for just a 3-game series where you make a mistake in that first one and all of a sudden, it's that much taller a task to try and climb. So that full interview is available on Flames Talk, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen to it, Apple, Spotify, and Google. This is The Big Show for Mortgages to Go. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Coming up around the corner, Luke Gazdick is going to join us. We're going to talk about playing out the stretch, 100 assists for Connor McDavid, and just whatever else Luke is excited for about this Stanley Cup playoff race. 2 massive games tonight. You got Philly taking on Washington, and you've got Detroit headed up to Montreal to battle the Habs. Both with huge implications on the postseason. We'll ask him his thoughts on both those tilts tonight as well as we continue on. This is The Big Show. No George Russick today. I'm Matty Rose. He's Patty Dumont. GVP's here. Connor's here. Simon's here. Sports at 960 The Fan.
You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Big Show. George Russick away. My name is Matty Rose. He's Patty Dumont. GVP is here. We got Simon and we got Connor running the show in the other room. We're live in the Doug Lacey Basement Systems downtown studio. Worried about radon? We install custom mitigation systems to reduce your risk. To find out more, visit dlbasementsystems.com. Little bit of breaking news coming from the NHL. Get to that in a moment. Ben Schulman is going to join us just after 8 to talk about the Jays. And right now, we do go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline to be joined by Luke Gazdick from out east. Hello, Luke. How are you, man?
Good, boys. How you doing today?
Not too bad. A little bit chaotic here. Patty and I both getting back from vacation, trying to get this ship back on the rails here. But wanted to get into something breaking with you, as the Buffalo Sabres have relieved their head coach, Don Granato, of his coaching duties right as we were hitting our last break here. I just wonder if you remember any times where you felt like maybe the end of the season you were playing for your coach's job, or if that's something that the players don't necessarily think about in the same way?
Good question. I mean, I've played for a lot of coaches throughout my career. and I go back to my time in Edmonton. I played for basically four coaches in 3 years there. My second year was interesting. Dallas Eakins got fired about a third of the way through the season. Craig McTavish was our GM. So they brought up Todd Nelson from the minors in Oklahoma City, but Craig had this idea to kind of shelter him for the first couple of weeks. So he came down and they like co-coach and then kind of gave the reins to Nelly. And that's where I see the most similarities in your question was towards the end of the year. I really like Nelly and I had known him a little bit before, played against him in the minors, but I think with American League coaches, there's always a bit of a period of trying to get the older kind of veteran guys on your side and kind of winning them over. And I think Nelly really did that. And by the end of the year, we all loved Todd. Like his system was very hard to play. I will say that. But once we got the hang of it and we got to know him, we all really, really liked him. And this is a true story. At the end of the year, I think, I don't know where we were, but we were all together and we had found out that we were going to be drafting Connor McDavid the next year. We had just won the lottery. Hmm. And that kind of spelled the end for Nelly. They wanted a more veteran coach, you know, to handle Connor coming in. So Todd ended up getting fired and we hired another Todd and Todd McClellan, who, you know, had a lot more experience in the league, but I felt bad for Dallas Eakins that year too. I had a great relationship with Dally. He liked my game and I was just kind of a good foot soldier for him. So I've seen coaches come and go, and listen, I'll tell you too, there's some that players didn't always like or vibe with, but I can definitely agree with saying that there were some guys that I played for that got let go that I can tell you was not a very favorable decision from the players.
I wanted to, and this is kind of brought up from a tweet by one of your desk mates on Sportsnet, Justin Bourne, but he has pointed out the fact that Casey Mittelstadt, when he first went to Colorado, the biggest thing that he kind of pointed out after a practice was, boy, do they ever practice here in Colorado? And especially when you compare it to where he had come from in Buffalo. Have you had, how drastically different were the changes between, you know, practice habits from one coach to another?
It can be drastic. I'll tell you, like, I know what he's talking about in terms of pace. Some coaches, yeah, every coach is different. And the one that comes to mind for me is Willie Desjardins, who I played for in the minors my last year. And when he came in, I'll never forget his first practice. He did it a much different style where it was really top heavy. The first 20 minutes, there was essentially no breaks. You were just drill, sprinting to the next drill. They were all quick touches, lots of shots, anywhere from a 1-on-0 to a 3-on-3. And I just remember being on basically my hands and knees after 20 minutes, just being like, how am I going to do this all year? But, you know, a couple weeks go by and you start to get in way better conditioning shape too. And that was great for me. And there's coaches that just slow the pace down a little bit too. Listen, there's guys that I played for where our team didn't even necessarily love the practices, where it was too stop and go, where we would go to the board and we're there for 10 minutes in between drills, talking about whatever, the system, the drill we're about to do. I was always a fan of quick, high tempo, get on the ice, get the job you need to get done, you know, have some goals in mind and some drills in mind and go out there and not waste any time. Because certainly there's coaches that like to teach a little more and there's coaches that kind of just like to push the pace a little more. But I know what he's talking about because you see the way Colorado plays. That is a sign of how they're practicing also. And it's quick, it's high tempo, it's high energy. And I've been there, man, going from one coach to another, and sometimes you just don't know what to expect.
Luke, we'll keep it in Buffalo there. Like, this will be the 13th year in a row that they'll miss the postseason, tied with the New York Jets for the longest in North American pro sports. And this was a team that I think I was one. I'm sure there were other people that were drinking the Buffalo Kool-Aid this year. Like, this could be a wild card team the way they played down the stretch last year, only missing by a point. But this is a team that's, you know, they got a lot of young guys on defense. Darlene, Power, they added Bowen Byram. They've got some young pieces coming up in Zach Benson and, you know, and Dylan Cousins. But where are the next steps for Buffalo? Because it feels like this rebuild is just continuing and continuing. When is it going to be the day that they can finally get to the playoffs? Does it start with the coach? Does it start with maybe getting some of the younger guys out and adding some more veteran presence around there?
Yeah, I mean, it always starts with the coach, first and foremost. It's whether it's his fault or not, he's usually the first scapegoat to go. I have a soft spot for Buffalo.
Yeah.
I grew up, you know, 2 hours from Buffalo here in Toronto. My dad actually got drafted by the Sabres back in 78. So growing up, I always followed the Sabres, and they were kind of like my second team. Like,
yeah.
I love the Leafs, but I always loved the Sabres. And it was interesting. I really thought they were going to take a step this year. And I remember we were literally having this conversation last night in the green room while we were doing Montreal-Detroit. Me and David Amber and Justin Williams were talking. Earlier in the year, we said, out of Buffalo, Detroit, and Ottawa, who do you think is the team most likely to make the playoffs? And I'll tell you, it was, you know, a bunch of people said Ottawa, but I would say it was overwhelmingly Buffalo. And Detroit was probably in the third spot there. I truly thought they were going to take the next step, but we started having the conversation also about their core and which core would you like more going forward, whether it was the Sens or the Sabres. And I think in today's game, you build your team from the net out. And I really like what they have going on. Uka Pekalukinen, good Sudbury Wolves kid, has been outstanding. One of the best goaltenders in the league in terms of numbers from basically the new year on. Obviously, their decor is elite, young and elite. Owen Power, Bowen Byram, Rasmus Dahlin. That is about as good as it gets in terms of young skill coming up. But it's the front end that I was really disappointed with. And Tage Thompson, I just thought was going to take another step in his defensive game and continue with the goal scoring. He hasn't had a terrible year, but if he's going to play first line center, it's also playing against other top lines. And Paterka's coming along. Alex Tuck will probably be their next captain, maybe. I'm not sure. You know, even Dylan Cousins, I like his game, but I think a lot of weight has been put on his shoulders. So I don't want to say it's pretty grim on the front end for the Sabres, but I'll just say there's not a ton to get you excited about if you're a Sabres fan. So they have some work to do there for sure, but I would love to see them have some success in the near future.
Chatting with Luke Gazdick here on the Big Show, Russick and Rose, no George today. Wanted to get into the Calgary Flames playing out the stretch here. Two games to go in Vancouver tonight, and then they've got their final home game against the Sharks on Thursday, who had a rough one in Edmonton yesterday. We'll get to that in a second as well. But with these last couple games, obviously there's a couple guys who are on milestone watch. Nothing quite like, you know, McDavid or Matthews have been for the last little bit. But what are the challenges and what are maybe some of the benefits of playing in these final couple of games of the season when your year has been essentially over? There's not a whole lot of movement as far as lotto and there won't be any playoffs.
Yeah, I'll go back to my third year when I told you Todd McClellan came in. So by the time the trade deadline hit, we were almost mathematically eliminated. I believe we were eliminated by then. So not the exact position the Flames were in, but Peter Chiarelli and Todd McClellan walked into our room and we had picked up some guys via trade. We had expanded rosters, so we brought up guys from the minors and we picked up some guys off waivers. Patty Maroon came in off waivers. And I just remember them standing at the front of the room and saying, you know, this is a good opportunity to see what we have in our organization. You know, everyone's going to get a chance to play. Now, whether that happens, that's a different story. I didn't end up playing that much anyway, but it was trying different lines and it was seeing who works with who and giving guys ice time that maybe they wouldn't have gotten had we been in a playoff race. It was trying out some of our young defensemen coming up from Bakersfield. And that's kind of what I see in Calgary right now. Starting with Dustin Wolf, he's had three starts in a row now. You can see the lines. They're very spread out in terms of what Husk is trying to find here. He's trying to find some guys that work with each other. I think the vets are doing a great job of leading the way, but this is a good opportunity for Craig Conroy and for Husk to kind of just try guys out in different positions. And obviously have some of your guys try to hit their milestones. I think, is Blake still going? Blake's still going for 30, right? I think he's on 29.
Yeah, the big question is if he's going to play in the finale. It sounds like he's on track to play in the finale, but won't be going tonight.
I would love to see that happen. I played with Blake when he was a rookie coming out of college in Albany with the Devils when we were there. And I've seen his progression into being a fourth line winger in the American League to a 2-time Stanley Cup champion and now a potential 30 goal scorer. So that's something I would love to see. I can tell you in that sense, and this is nothing against Blake, but it can get a little individualistic at times at the end of the season, because guys are going for individual milestones, right? If you lose a game and a guy has goal and assist, it's not always the best attitude to have around dressing rooms. But I like the Flames and what they have going on right now. And I played for Husk, and I know that he is a great leader and setting the tone the rest of the way here.
When you say trying guys in different positions, how much can you learn from, you know, a 60-minute game, a couple of games at the end of the season when someone is kind of in a new position, a different wing or maybe a guy at center? How much time do you need to really see that, and is the end of the season the most optimal? Do you even need more time if it's the end of the season?
Yeah, and that's interesting too, right? The chicken or the egg. Do you need... Yeah. To see more with more, or do I need to give you more to see more production? Yeah. And I look at guys like Coronado. Does he want to play on the right side? Does he want to play his offside? I know Husk has tried him on his offside, and Dryden Hunt's a good example of a guy that's always just kind of been that depth grinder forward, but Husk has tried him up and down the lineup. Let's see if he can give us some production. Trying to get Hubie consistently going as with Zeri and trying to find chemistry. And I think that's another big one too, is trying to figure out who's going to click with who. And Kuzmenko is looking good with Nas right now. And I think it's just, like I said, it's Husk trying to look forward to the future and also to try to make their decisions easier this summer with guys' contracts coming up. You know, do we want this guy back? And what's his attitude like? And, you know, when we were eliminated from the playoffs, what kind of hockey did he give us down the stretch? You know, did he shut it down? Did he come to the rink with a good attitude every day? Talk to your strength coaches. Was he in the gym every day? Was he putting in the work still, or did he shut it down when we were eliminated? It's all little things like that kind of culminate and make their decisions easier or harder as the summer and free agency rolls around.
Yesterday, Connor McDavid does hit 100 points in the second game on Sportsnet there. Obviously, a huge accomplishment, just the fourth player in the NHL to ever do it. What did you make of his comments in the intermission? Because it's something you kind of mentioned there. It's not that it gets individualistic, but Connor talked about, you know, just trying to find ways to get assists, and sometimes it can be a bit distracting. We've heard Sheldon Keefe talk about how the 70-goal race has been a little distracting for the Leafs. Has that changed maybe in a little bit the most recent years compared to a decade or two ago?
I would think so. Maybe not dramatically, but a little bit. And in a sense, I don't mind it. I didn't see it as much in Edmonton with Connor's record, but I would say that it was the major media headline and it was the major distraction, if you want to call it, right? Like when we're prepping for Hockey Central and the Oilers are playing, it's at the top of the list every time. Every time we're talking about the Oilers, it's, is he going to get it? When's he going to get it? And who's it going to be against? And I saw it way more and see it way more here in Toronto with Matthews going for 70. And I think I'm glad Sheldon said it after the game on Saturday versus Detroit, because that was the first game I saw them really, really forcing it. And I love Max Domi. I think he's done such a great job the last couple months. And he's really taken the opportunity of playing with Matthews and understanding the assignment, so to say, in trying to feed him the puck whenever possible. But even Saturday, it was just a little too much where you could tell every time guys got the puck, they're looking up and his line mates are looking up and everyone's kind of thinking about it and talking about it. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle that with their last two games here. I don't think he should play versus Florida, and I think maybe last game of the season, put him in versus Tampa and see if he can get it. But really glad Connor got it last night. fitting that it's, well, not fitting that it's the Sharks, but of course it was the Sharks. It was probably his easiest test to get it. But I'm glad he got it out of the way. And it's a huge, huge milestone for him. I've talked about it a lot, but I lived with him when he was a rookie and he was 18. He came and lived with us. And, you know, I watched him get his first assist and his first goal. And here we are, how many years later? And he's breaking records for 100 assist seasons, which is just incredible. So it's pretty cool to see.
Luke, we'll shift things over to the Eastern Conference wildcard playoff race here. I guess handicap the race for us here. One game left for these four teams, all separated by at least 2 points. The Capitals have the tiebreakers over most of these teams here. Detroit looked really good. You know, not really good. They were down 4-1, but then Lucas Raymond ties it up late and then wins it in overtime. They're back in Montreal tonight. Just overall, how you're going to handicap and watch these games, and who do you think will end up being that second wild card team?
Well, thankfully, I'm at the studio tonight.
Beautiful.
Doing Hockey Central, 6:30 to 7. So once 7 o'clock hits, we jump in the green room, and there's about 8 TVs in there. So I might just watch the games in there. It's better than the single TV and the laptop at home. But you're right. Washington has the upper hand here. They're in control of their destiny, which is crazy to think about. And nothing against the Caps. I just didn't see them being in this position at this time. They're goal differential, which is kind of a running joke now, and whether you want to look into stats like goal differential, it's hard to ignore that they're a minus 40 and they might make the playoffs. But when and they're in, they're in control of what they do. Detroit, you're right. Last night, we were so disappointed in them. We sat there and I remember I looked at the clock. There was 9:36 left and they were down 4-2. And we were talking about what we were going to say post game. And I just remember saying, I'm so disappointed in the Wings that they brought this effort, you know, with a game of this magnitude. And it was just like snap of a fingers. They just turned it on. And then obviously they made their push the last 2 minutes, but they need a win. They need Wash to lose. Pittsburgh's a team that I'm really interested in. So they need to win and they need Washington and Detroit to lose in any fashion. I'm not even really counting Philly in, but it's so interesting. They need regulation and they need help as well. Pitt's the team I'm watching. It'd be really interesting to see if they sneak in, but none of this happens if Wash just goes into Philly and takes care of business. So I'm excited to have all those games on at once. And what a regular season this has been. Incredible stuff. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, guys, but you know, talk about those points earlier in the year, you know, when you lose a point or you lose to a bad team and you don't think it means much. And here we are in game 82 with 1 point or a tiebreaker possibly being the difference. So should be another great night of hockey.
We haven't touched on it yet, but the Arizona Coyotes are probably preparing to play their final game in the desert against the Oilers later on this week. I believe it goes on Thursday night, but I haven't confirmed it. But tickets, the cheapest ticket was around $500. There were some over $1,100. I know you haven't been in a situation with a team relocating, but do you kind of get it? Like, what's the vibe in that room? I know it's not like they're traveling across country; it's just up one state. But you know, there are guys that you know had the roots there, and I know it's tough to for anyone to lose a team, but it does feel like this was coming for a long time, and I'm glad it's kind of happening.
Yeah, this sucks, man, for everybody. I think of the players first and foremost, and I get it. There's a sense from the fans, they make millions of dollars and this and that. They can play wherever, but uprooting your family and, you know, just having your boots on the ground or, you know, having a nice house and a nice setup and liking the place you're playing is half the battle. And picking up and leaving to a completely new and unknown city where no one's played before can definitely be a challenge. My thing first and foremost that I thought of instantly and where my mind went to was the business staff. And by that, I mean community relations and game day operations and ticket sales. Those people are the backbone of a good organization. When I was in any team, essentially, I was going to say Edmonton, but any team, I always tried to forge good relationships with the people around that made our jobs easier and possible, especially people like community relations, where I try to take pride in being out and about in the city that I played in. I'm hearing Morello is going to keep the AHL, or sorry, move the AHL team from Tucson, but keep them at Mullet, which would keep some of those jobs alive. But there's going to be people that are taking the brunt of some bad business decisions by some higher ups. So it sucks what's happening, because I think there is a real movement in Arizona with youth hockey. And you see, you're in Toronto, we got Austin Matthews and Matthew Nyes, both Phoenix kids. And there's definitely a growth and a movement, but man, they have had a lot of chances. They have had a lot of strikes, and I'm assuming they're going to get a chance down the line, but we'll see. Just kind of a crappy situation for everyone involved.
Enjoy the home stretch here. Playoffs start on Saturday. It's going to be a ton of fun. Thanks for your time today, Luke.
Always, guys. Thanks. Have a good day.
There you go. It's Luke Gazdick from Sportsnet and, of course, the Mitsoff podcast. You can hear him on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Or you can call them 403-248-3344 for pickup or for delivery. Toronto Blue Jays play game two of their series against the New York Yankees later on tonight. A couple of lefties getting the ball. Just after 5 o'clock is when this one is going to get going. And around the corner, we're going to hear from the Jays radio play-by-play voice. Ben Shulman joins the show next, and we'll get into that. Plus, the text topic still open for you, 960-960. We got a couple of Roughnecks tickets to give away. We're going to do that after 8:30. You can go on a vacation anywhere with any Flame, current or past. Who would it be and why? Let us know. Make us smile. Make us laugh. Make the listeners laugh. And you're going to win yourself a couple of tickets to watch the Roughnecks in their season finale on Saturday, which the Roughhouse will be rocking. That is for sure. We'll take a break, and around the corner, Ben Shulman joins the program. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.